It's time for the Ronin role-playing podcast. Join Scormy as he plays through various tabletop role-playing games entirely on his own. Some are specifically designed for solo play, while with others he will be using a GM emulator. Regardless, come enjoy the strange world of solo role-playing with your host, Scormy.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Ronin Roleplaying Podcast. I'm your host, Scormy. And today, we are continuing on with our adventures in The Witcher. Yes, I've picked up the game again after some soul-searching and really thinking about it. I don't think it's the game so much that was causing me problems last month. No, I think a lot of it had to do with my indecision. And as a good game master, even though this is solo role-playing, you still have to have some bit of a game master's mindset to it. As a good game master, I should have just said, okay, I'm not here specifically to show off these rules to show that I know what I'm doing, when I clearly don't. This is my first time playing this game, even though I have some experience with a similar system. This is my first time playing The Witcher, and I believe that I should have just went, this is what sounds right to me, made a ruling, and moved on, instead of trying to struggle through trying to figure out how to make my character. That really took up a lot of time and was quite confusing. So, I think that really was a detriment to last month's shows. So this month, we've got 5 weeks worth of shows. So that means more to do, more story I can build in there. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more fun. Although I think we ended off on a strong point last week. I think that went really well. I was very happy with that. But where to go from here? Obviously, Crass apparently died after being attacked by those grave hags. Or what he believed to be, or actually he wouldn't know anyway, he doesn't have the knowledge, but these horrible beings tore him to shreds, and that was the end of that. Where do we go from there? Well, originally, a couple months ago, I had said when I was going to play The Witcher, I wanted to play as a Witcher, which only makes sense. Then I went and tried to make one of those characters, and went, yeah, no. Super complicated. I was not happy. I was not having fun. I scrapped the idea and made a much simpler man-at-arms. And we all saw how that worked out. Well, I took a week away from the game and just decided, you know what? Normally I do 2 months worth of shows in a weekend. 1 month on one day, 1 month on the other. This time I've split it up over 2 weekends, basically. And took a little time in between to think about it, really dig into the book a little better, and think about how I ran the game. And turns out, I made a few decisions. Well, first of all, I did knuckle down and make a Witcher. I will be playing as Farron today, a male Witcher, 95 years old, so a little older than some, but younger than the classic ones, which are the ancient ones, which are mostly believed to be gone or like 300 years old. So anyway, I went down and for the second time trying to make a Witcher character, it actually made a lot more sense. And I was able to knock out my character, and there might be a few things I missed, but overall, I'm pretty happy with it. I even got my encumbrance set up, even though that's not really necessary. Figured out my spells, invocation, signs. Well, basically, I have all the basic signs. And while I'm not 100% on what everything does, I still am pretty happy with what came up. Now, normally this first session I would spend making the character, right? So instead, I'm just going to tell you a bit about the character, get into an intro, and we'll call that good, okay? So, like I said, his name's Farron, and obviously he's a Witcher. Now, his defining skill was Witcher training, which is intelligence-based. I maxed him out with that at a 6, because that's the highest you can go for a starting stat. His other class skills are Awareness, which I have at a 5, Deduction I have at 2, Wilderness Survival at 5, and there's a reason for that, Dodge Escape at 3, Riding at 2, Swordsmanship at 4. I wanted it to be higher, but I had to make a few sacrifices there. Archery at 4, Athletics at 2, Stealth at 3, and Spellcasting at 4. Now, of all those skills, only Spellcasting is a 2x skill. It costs twice as much. So yes, I had to dump 8 of my points into that to get that up to 4. Two reasons. I figure he's a little older, so he should be able to have a better knowledge on the spellcasting part of being a Witcher, but he shouldn't be super proficient in it either based upon his background, which we'll get to. And that was one of those sacrifices I had to make, and thus had to reduce things like swordsmanship, and what was another one? Endurance? No, that wasn't a class skill. Oh, Awareness dropped, and Wilderness Survival I had at a 6. Same with Dodge Escape. I reduced all of those to make sure that I could get spellcasting up. Other skills I have are Common Speech and Elder Speech at 1. Those are 2x skills, though, so they cost a little extra. That's why there's just a little bit in them. Melee at 3. Endurance at 3, like I said before. Courage at 3, and Intimidation at 3. I figure those are all appropriate things. Now, I did want to put points in Alchemy. Chose not to. I figure I can add to that later over time. Well, this is a one-shot, so we'll see about that if we return to it at a time in the future. Now, just to skip back, my attributes. I have an Intelligence of 10. Well, I should start with, we did point by again, and I went with the same scale as I did with Crass, which was 75 points to spend. I want him to be a little bit more buff to start off with. That matches with his extra age. I figure that's an appropriate way to start. Anyway, Intelligence of 10, Reflexes of 10, Dexterity of 10, Body of 8, Speed of 8, Empathy of 6, Craft of 6, Willpower of 9, and Luck of 8. That gives him a stun of 80, which isn't as good as Crass had, but whatever. Run of 24, Leap of 4, Health Points 40, Stamina 40, Encumbrance of 80, which he's well under. Wreck of 8, that's Recovery. For punching, he does 1d6 plus 2 damage, and kick, he does 1d6 plus 6. I put down in primary weapon both swords, steel and silver. Steel is more reliable than the silver, as you might expect, and does more base damage. But they're both two-handed weapons, but the silver is lighter, and where the steel one has armor piercing as its effect, the silver has silver as its effect, which, if it's used against a monster, instead of doing 1d6 plus 2, it does 4d6 plus 2, which is the same damage as the steel sword, just by itself. Anyway, he also has, well, I'll get to that when I get to gear. Let me see, where's my life path? Okay. Alright, so early events, he was taken to join the Witchers at age 5, trained at Hadnuk, it's the bear school, which gave him a -2 armor penalty, which doesn't even come to play anyway. Easy mutations he got, which gave him a +2 on Trial of Grasses. Extra mutations, which gave him a +1 empathy and a +1 dex, thus how high they ended up. Hunted by Sentient Monster, which was like a grave hag, which is going to get into our starting story. He became a hermit, only now returning to fight. which is shown in his life path. His first decade of life, after becoming a Witcher, he had an ally who's a female teacher he met in a tavern. They were an acquaintance. She's now dead, as happens so often in the Witcher universe, right? At decades 20, 30, 40, 50, and 60, basically for the rest of his time, I literally rolled nothing. So basically, the way I figure it is, he had this teacher, they were hanging out, they came close, she got killed while he was being hunted by this grave hag. Basically, he started a hunt, it turned the tables, and it has began to hunt him and picking off his friends, including this ally. And he ended up being severely wounded and becoming a hermit. He lost his confidence. He was very idealistic when he started off, became very jaded and cynical, and went up into the mountains to hide. Well, now that monsters have basically are scouring the land, he's decided that if he's going to go out, he's going to go out fighting, and he's going to find that hag. And so that's what he's doing right now. You see how this all ties together with last month? Okay. Now, clothing-wise, he tends to wear utilitarian clothing. Very basic. His personality is still idealistic. He has a shortcut, self-cut short haircut, which only befits someone who's a hermit. I was hoping for wild, but, the role is the role. Affectations, he wears a lot of furs. He was living in the mountains, taking care of himself. Thus why I put points in archery, as he does a lot of hunting with bow. He has no valued persons. He does value money, though. He's a Witcher. They work for pay. And his feelings on people is his kind are fine. The rest can go suck it. He's had it with humanity, the elder races. All that matters is Witchers and the few Witchers that are left, I should say, and destroying the monsters. That's what's in his mind. He is, a little off after all this time alone. Let's be honest, he spent the last 50 years in isolation. So, yeah. Probably not up on the most recent television series, Okay, so he's got all the basic signs. We don't really need to go over that. He's got a vigor of 2, which is base. His stamina of 40 is current. So none of that's really important. Let's see. He came with a double woven gambeson for armor, 5 throwing knives, a Witcher medallion, steel sword and silver sword, 2 potion formula, 2 oil formula, decoction formula, short bow and 20 arrows is what I bought. I also bought double woven trousers, so he has some leg armor, and a belt pouch. He has 8 crowns left. Yes, I rolled poorly on money. So that's all I could afford were those 3 things. But I figured it was appropriate to have. Now, one thing I didn't pick were his potion formula and oil formula. I totally forgot those. So why don't we run over to the book? We'll pick some formula really quick. Dude, jump up over here to Witcher gear. Okay. He has 1 decoction, right? Here we are. Potion formulas. I need to first look at what they do before I choose the formula. The Witcher potions. So black blood makes the Witcher's blood poisonous to any creature that drinks it. They take 3 points of damage per round until an endurance check DC 20 is made. Blizzard, +4 reflexes after killing an enemy. Further kills do not add to the bonus, which lasts until the potion duration ends, which is 10 rounds. Cat, no penalties for darkness or dim light. You also cannot be hypnotized and gain +2 to see through illusions. That's neat. Full moon, you gain 30 temporary health points till the end of the duration. Just a half an hour, that's nice. Full moon potions do not stack. Golden Oriole grants immunity to poisons and neutralizes poison. Killer Whale increases your ability to hold your breath by half and negates sight penalties underwater. Maribor Forest, each time you gain an adrenaline die, add a second one. Okay. Petrie's Filter, +2 point in spellcasting, hex weaving, and ritual crafting. Swallow, regenerate 3 points per round. In any round you are struck, you do not regenerate. This healing does not stack with multiple uses. That I could see as being very useful. Honey Owl, each time you use recovery action to gain back stamina, add an extra 2 points. Thunderbolt, +3 damage on physical attacks. White Honey clears toxicity and removes all potion effects. Doesn't that kind of... Oh, the other one's immune to poison. They're very similar, though. Anyway, so I gained 2 of these. Pretty sure I'm going to take Swallow and Thunderbolt. On page 247. All right. Blade Oils. I gained 2 of those, too. Yes. There's Beast Oil, Cursed Oil... These are all +5s versus certain types of creatures. So you got Beast, Curse, Draconid, Oamenta, Hanged Man's Venom, which is against humanoids, Hybrid, Insectoid, Necrophage, Ogroid, Relict, Spectre, and Vampire. I'm going to say Necrophage would be appropriate here. And he usually lives out in the... in the woods. He's been living there a while, so I'm going to go with Beast as well. And he gets a decoction. Arrakis, for every 10 points of encumbrance you have free, you gain +2 SP to all locations. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, that's good. So he has 13 total now. He has 80. So that's 67. He'd gain 12 SP to all locations. Wow. That's nifty, but let's move on. Fiend, your encumbrance is doubled. Gravehag, +2 hit point regeneration for every enemy slain during the combat. This health bonus lasts until the end of the combat. Griffin, every time you take more than 5 points of damage, you gain +2 SP. This SP stacks with itself. Katakan, you gain a +3 to your roll when determining the location of a critical wound. Necker, your mount never panics, and you gain a +3 to all ride and athletic checks. Okay. Noonwraith, you gain immunity to stun and blindness and cannot be knocked prone. Troll, you regenerate 5 health points per round. I like that. Werewolf, running for long periods of time takes no stamina. Wyvern, you gain +1 damage to your next strike after a successful strike. This +1 is cumulative and goes up with each hit until the combat ends or you take damage. That sounds like it could be feast or famine. You know, the most simple one is Troll. You regenerate 5 health points per round. They last for 30 minutes. So, wow. Yeah. So, roll on page 248. All right. Maybe I should have brought that alchemy kit, huh? Not that I could afford any components or anything, but again, nifty for the future. So anyway, that, my friends, is Farron. Now, why don't we get started? Now, like last time, I have a basic idea of where I want to start after thinking about how the last episode ended and where I could go with the story now. Now, this is very similar to the very first game we played with Ronin Roleplaying late last year, which was Feng Shui 2, where I broke up. It was 2 months with the same game, but I broke it up into basically a movie for the first month and its sequel for the next. So that's what we're doing this time. Last month it was Rising Sun over Bloody Woods. This time it's Setting Sun over Bloody Woods, kind of a follow-up. And let's begin. So, I'm going to say that we pick up where we start up with Baron walking along this mountainous road. The sun is low in the sky, mostly hidden behind large pine trees as he climbs up onward up this hillside road, shadows growing longer. And he's just hoping for a bed to sleep in for the night rather than curling up with a tree under his cloak yet again. He wants a bath. He wants a soft bed and something warm to eat. Anyway, soon he comes to some level ground and he sees ahead of him what appears to be the road widening out some and perhaps a town. But something strikes him as a little off about this town. As he walks in, he has seen no activity. There's no one around. And the village seems to be fallen into a bit of disuse. Yet it has not been worked on. It looks like there hasn't been anyone living here in some time. But he can see no reason why it would be abandoned. I mean, there's a chapel, there's an inn, several other businesses, you know, some shops, whatnot. It seems like this may not have been a very large village, but at one point, perhaps a growing and even thriving village, but not now. Well, at least he can see no one about, so he is on edge. Now, let me draw to see. We are again using Game Master's Apprentice. I have also broken out my Mythic Game Master emulator cards, just in case I want to draw for that to see if I can find something useful there. Maybe even use it for its more detailed yes-no answers, but we'll see about that. Basically, if I feel like I'm not getting good answers from GMA, I will move forward with Mythic. Anyway. Oh. Where would he want to check first? Actually, does he see any, as he looks around on the street, does he see any information that might be of use or interesting or... Yes, I gave it even odds and would say yes, he saw something interesting. And I'm going to say that outside one of the buildings nearest to the edge of the road, there was a sign hanging above it. And written in common speech, because he can read, it said, Village of Bowden. Well, Farron's never heard of this place. But what happened? So, my gut instinct would be to check one of the more popular or populous, more used buildings along the main street, which to me would say the chapel, the tavern, or the general store. And I'm going to say there's probably equal odds of each. So, I'm going to roll percentiles. Oh, no, you know what? I'm going to roll a d6. 1 to 2 for the shop. 3 to 4 for the tavern. 5 to 6 for the to the temple. Okay? So shop, tavern, temple. 3. So we are going to the tavern. What is the name of this tavern? Well, got a couple ideas. Draw a couple of names for it. Don't like that. No, this is where I'm going to go to the Mythic deck. No, that's not really helping me either. I'm going to call it Jamal's Humble Inn. The best I can come up with. All right. So, stepping in the doors of the tavern. All right. As he approaches a tavern, does he see anything untoward? Yes. Does he see any signs of an ambush or violence or, you know, potential danger? I'm going to make an awareness check on this rather than roll a yes, no. But considering I rolled a 9, I have an awareness of 5 and an intelligence of 10. I'm pretty sure a 24 succeeds. And the fact that it's got Old West style swinging, you know, double swinging doors at the entryway, and one of them is laying like smashed on the front porch, and the other one is hanging like it's been torn most of the way off of its hinges. Something happened here. Something rather bad happened here. But what? So, stepping inside, he's going to be quite wary. Is there cause for concern in the main hall? No. As he steps in, it is quite dark, as the sun is now most fully set. And, of course, all the shadows have spread across the land. And in here, it is even darker. So it's near pitch black. I personally have no lighting on me, so... Did I come with a flint and steel? Nope. Well, I guess I'm going to have to just figure it out, huh? He doesn't see anything untoward, you know, no obvious threats. But I'm going to say that the place is a mess. It's definitely been wrecked. Tables smashed, chairs smashed. But it doesn't appear to be recent either. Everything's coated with a thick layer of dust. There's damage to what was once a bar. But I'm going to say that Farron walks around behind the bar and starts looking to see if he can find anything that might be used to maybe light a lantern or something to gain some light. Is he able to find such a thing? Yes. So he finds a bit of... Because I don't want to use an igni just to light up a lantern. So I'm going to say he finds some flint and steel. And first he'll start off with lighting up a lantern. And there's about, say, half of its reservoir with oil. Even though it's old, it still will light. And then he's going to go over and check out the fireplace. And there's some wood, been out of the rain, so he can get a fire started with that. Perhaps we need to make a wilderness survival check for that. Seems fair. 17 shouldn't be that hard to light a fire with dry wood. So he gets a fire going. And then he'll set about searching. Everything here is old. The wine and mead have all spoiled. Gone vinegar or rancid. The food has apparently been chewed. What was fresh has been eaten by rats or other wild animals some time ago, which might explain a lot of the smashing of stuff in the inn, as perhaps a bear or other beast came in here after the humans left, and they were looking for something to eat, perhaps in a cold winter. Regardless, does not appear he's going to be having that warm meal after all, or at least not a fresh one. He does have some supplies, though, I'll say. So he can at least heat himself up something. And I'm going to use his wilderness survival to see if he can... There's the dragon. Anyway, I'm going to use his wilderness survival to see about if he can fashion up a way to maybe barricade the door some. Make it relatively safe. That is a total of 20. Yeah, I'm going to say that there's enough debris and whatnot, old barrels, things he can move around to he could get in front of the main entryway to secure that off for the most part. It's not super secure, but if something tries to get in, they're going to make some noise in doing so. And that's all that really matters. If he gets that early warning, he can get some sleep by the fire tonight. And that's all he wants, is some rest. But he had to, I'm going to say he had to grab some of the materials from upstairs to help secure the windows and doors. So in doing so, he grabbed a mattress, drug it down to the main room, and he's just going to sleep on this nice mattress. Well, once nice mattress. It's old and dusty, but he can shake it out, beat it with a broom a few times, and basically use that to sleep on. And when the sun rises, maybe then he can look a little bit more into what exactly is going on around here. But for now, he's been marching for 2 days. He is tired, taking off his boots, and he's going to sleep. And that, my friends, is where we are going to leave this episode. So hopefully you'll join me again next week where we see what is going on with Farron. If you listened to last week's shows, you might have a decent idea what became of Bowden, but we'll find out more next time. So, until then, I'm your host, Squirmy, reminding you, first of all, to go by squirmy.com, check out our podcasts and blog and Discord server. Join the community. We'd love to have you. And then, reminding you that if you can't play with your friends, you can always play with yourself.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you want more content like this, come on over to squirmy.com. We've got more podcasts, blogs, our own Discord server, and so much more. Also, don't forget to join us again next week as your intrepid guide Squirmy delves once more into the world of solo role-playing.